From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brand. Another packed alternative look at the news on your radio set. And yes, you are on a radio set, whether you're on a cable, whether you're on specially Wi-Fi, or even if you're listening to us in the car, which you can, so there. This is Postcard from Pop Brand with Rachel, Lee and me, Eric. And we're looking at a little bit of a tribute to start off part two as the heroes return back from Afghanistan. And they are heroes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They are.
They are indeed. They are indeed. Anybody that says otherwise can go and live on the moon.
They can. They can go and live on the moon.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say that, you know, we should show eternal gratitude to these people because they do put their lives on the line in foreign climes. Mm. And even now, horrifically, on the streets of their own hometowns. You know, people say, lest we forget about the people in the Great Wars. And let's face it, the Second World War lasted 4 years. The War on Terror, which these people are involved in, has already gone on for more than 20 years. These people are out there fighting to protect our lives.
Indeed. And I take my hat off to the citizens of York who turned out in their huge, well, crowds and crowds of them, waving Union Jacks and just literally showed some solidarity with the 2nd Signal Regiment that returned from Afghanistan. And many in the crowd were wearing Help for Heroes T-shirts as a tribute to the drummer Lee Rigby, who was murdered just over a week ago. And I just, that is just fantastic, guys. I think you definitely deserve one of those. You're really good. You're very, 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 very good in my book. And I just think that was amazing. So if anybody says to you, don't support them, you don't argue with them, there's no point, just say thank you, nice to meet you, and walk away and just leave them standing there. That's the best thing to do with them. Ignore them.
Or just walk away. Say it's nice to meet you.
Well, no, because if you're nice and then you walk away, you see, it makes them even more confused.
Because they can't handle that.
So just say thank you very much.
Dark and there are crickets chirping, and that person's still standing in the middle of the road trying to figure out what happened.
It's and then the lorry comes and goes. Wonderful. Britain has had its coldest spring since 1962, and not only that, do you know, it's the highest levels of imported gas that the UK's ever had in decades.
Well, you see, it's absolutely true. I can't believe it. I am still sitting here. This is the summer in Britain, and I still have my log burner going. It's going now. What is happening? I know. What's that phrase? Chillax. Chillax. Yeah?
Yeah.
Chill out.
I now know what chillax means.
Chillax. It's
it's chopping wood in the summer because it's freezing.
I do apologise, boys and girls, if you can hear the occasional vehicle go past, because it's so warm in here and I'm too tight to put the aircon on. Anyway, I'm asthmatic, so I don't like aircon. I've got the windows open because it's so warm in the studio.
We're having the exact opposite of what you guys are, and it stands to reason because we're at the other
end. Well, can you have the opposite of cold or hot? Ease up, I'm cold. You said you've got the absolute opposite.
I've got the opposite to what you've got, Lee. It's unseasonably warm for this time of year for us.
Oh.
So I only turned the air conditioner off last week.
And you've got a frog in your throat, Rach.
And I do. Just bear with me.
Stop eating the wildlife and let's get on with the program.
Thanks, Rupert. That was a great snack.
Anyway, so whinging ponds are everywhere, but we don't care. This is a really interesting one and very confusing for me, I must admit. I think nearly every country I could find off the satellite dish was covering this story because I purposely had a look. This little baby was flushed down the toilet. And there was lots of excuses given, reasons given, and, complying with laws given, and all sorts of things. And then at one point, the baby that was actually dug out of whatever the big pipe is that, you know, where your stuff goes.
A sewage pipe.
That's the word. Thank you, Rage. Gosh.
That's all right.
I would
know all the good words, like sewage.
Anyway, then there was a story saying the baby had been given back to the mother, And yeah. Now the update is that that's not quite right, because the people around her in China have really vilified her for what's happened. And she's now had kind of a nervous breakdown and is in hospital herself. So yeah. I'm confused by all of this. I don't know what to make of it.
I can explain it. I can explain it.
Well, I know the law bit.
No, well, I can explain what's happened with the family. What's happened is that the Chinese government are actually trying to take the sting out of this tale, because it's indicative, or it expresses the horror of what very often happens in China over at the birth of children. If you have more than three children, then, you know, there's all sorts of terrible things happen. And people, there is no doubt in China, get rid of the children if they don't feel they can look after them. And also because they think it's breaking the law. And what happened in this case, because it was such a really outrageously terrifying thing to have happened, to find this newborn child still with the placenta attached in the sluice pipe of a loo, and people had saved it. Well, it was just incredibly bad press for China. And so what they did was bring the child back to the family, but gave it to the grandparents. Right. And at that stage, what was expected to happen was the child would be delivered back to the mother. Now, quite rightly, as you say, the mother's had a nervous breakdown and all sorts of things like that. And what the next stage is, that the father, because this child was apparently conceived on a one-night stand, the father has now said he wants a paternity test, and if the baby is his, then they will get together and they will support the child properly. And if that is the outcome, then the Chinese government will be very, very pleased with that outcome.
They will indeed, won't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that does actually... The funny thing is, that sort of on a level of him saying, right, I'm having a paternity test. If it is mine, we'll get married and look after it. That old-fashioned kind of honour thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for it, you know.
There is, if that's what it is. And I would not for a second cast any aspersions against it being a dishonest thing because he's been bunged a bit of cash to say it. Yeah. And I'm sure he hasn't.
Anyway, the next story is a bit confusing as well for an Eric.
Just confused because of that stop button.
That's probably true. The Iceland boss, Iceland's a big freezer centre in the UK.
This is ridiculous.
He's totally nuts. Now, he's the boss of this huge chain of stores where you go and buy low-cost frozen food. And so he took 800 of his staff, what a nice boss, on a dream trip to Disney World in Florida. He's now facing a £2.5 million tax bill because the tax man said, well, no, actually, it wasn't a business trip, it was a perk.
You know what? This story does not stack up.
It don't.
Because if he took 800 workers away and it cost him £1,000. Oh, it could do, actually, if you do it that way. Couldn't it? How much would it cost? Yeah. So, £2.5 million, anyway. That figure's wrong.
Well, it's about £5,000 a head. Now, you know, that's an awful lot of money. But the tax office in the UK said it was benefit in kind and must be taxed. But the boss of Iceland, that's Mr. Walker, he's actually he's due for retirement, he's that old. He doesn't want to pay up.
66, you don't retire until you're 70 in Britain now.
Oh, right, okay. But I don't agree with this. If he was, if the team had done well, and they wanted to make the team spirit bond together, all these wonderful things that actually make the business better so that they get more money in, so they pay more tax in the long run. Why the heck can't it be, you know, a business expense?
Don't kill their productivity, man.
It
was quite clear that he said it was a conference, conference. It wasn't a, you know, let's all go and, you know, get Mickey'd and all that stuff. He never said that.
Yeah, I mean,
it was not on the itinerary.
Well, no, but it you know, the amount of value of happy people in the shops is going to make more money for the Inland Revenue than loads of miserable, grumpy people, surely.
But the thing is, they're saying
that on that big list, you know, you're at the bottom of that list, aren't you?
Mm. But he's saying that Disney's best service has got the best service in the world. Well, that actually says a lot about his service, that he thinks that, like, last time I went to Iceland, right, I was served by Goofy and Dopey helped me get me stuff to the car.
No, but maybe he was depicting good customer service. And it was a training session.
It wasn't a training session. It was having a play out in Disneyland. Because you were
What happened to all the shop workers?
Wasn't the shop workers who went? It was all the bosses who went. I think he's quite right. He's not.
But they used to do it years ago, and they had to stop it because of the ruddy in Llanrevan. You had the staff days out where everybody went to the seaside.
If you went two or three at a time, but not 800 of you, somebody's going to notice that.
We move on. Europe is going to take the UK to court, idiots, over plans to change the payment scheme of migrants. And specifically, this is about people within the European Union going to the UK and claiming benefits the way they have up until now. Now, let me just point something out here. I am living in the European Union.
Mm.
I am English, and I emigrated from the UK to the Slovak Republic.
Mm.
If I wanted to get dole money here, the only way I could do that is if I worked for the local authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't do that in England.
No.
So there's a kind of like a conflict here in that the EU says UK can't do it, but the rules in other countries in the EU are different to the UK's. So how the hell can the EU take the UK to court?
Well, he's just insane. But why, as a matter of interest, if this was right, if the EU taking us to court turned out to be right and they won the case, would that mean that you living in Slovakia, right, and you were out of work, you could then claim dole from the UK as you are a UK citizen?
No.
Well, what a load of rubbish then. Shouldn't, of course it should. Why can everybody else come into the country and get it, yet you as a person who's paid into the system, just because you're out of the country, can't?
That's the way it's been for a long, long time.
Well, no. And the other thing that I want to say about this, and then I'll shut my... is that it actually is cheaper, right? It actually is cheaper. I don't understand why everybody's coming over to Britain. Britain is one of the most expensive countries. It's outstripped Austria for expense and Switzerland now because it is so expensive. It is actually cheaper to go and live in a hotel in Malta or Spain or France for the winter than it is to stay in your own home in Britain. And that situation has not arisen for decades and decades, but now that's what people have started doing.
Do you remember the big story, Lee, and for those around the world listening, it was in the, I think, the Sun newspaper, of a young lady from Estonia who lives a luxury lifestyle on benefits with a child in the UK and will not go home and admit she's never going to go back because she can go out clubbing, she can afford nice clothes, she's got a nice apartment. It's not nice by English standards in terms of large, but it's much better than she would have. And she's getting all of that on the state, which means you, Lee, as a taxpayer there, are paying for this.
I agree 100%, and it's quite right. But what amazes me is that people from all over Europe still think that they're on a good thing when they come over here. And in a way, you could understand it. I had no objection when we first started having immigration from Eastern and Central Europe coming here because I like the people, I understand the people, we get on. But what they were doing, and I thought this was quite laudable, they were coming over here, setting themselves up in a job and a home, and then helping out their families in whatever country it was they'd left.
Yeah.
But now they can't afford to do that. They've come over here to make a better life for themselves, and they're living on the breadline, or even worse, just round the corner from me is a major farm, and there is a city of caravans. When I say a city of caravans, I bet there must be 2,000 caravans there, and each of those caravans contains five or six Slovak or Polish or Ukrainian people who've come over here to make a
better
life. Well,
now you see, this is where the confusion comes in, because Ukrainians are not in the EU yet.
Thank you very much for pointing that out.
Rigged,
but no, jeez. No, that was a real tumbleweed moment. I just think that if you know, I love the idea of a European Union where you can move around without having to show your passport every border and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. If you've got a job, you want to go to another country because you've got a job there, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah,
but don't then, you know, get upset and start saying, "Oh, you can't do that," because you know. There'll become a point, and taking this from the sublime to the ridiculous, does that mean they're going to take the UK to court for driving on the opposite side of the road to the rest of Europe?
Well, this is the European Union being completely round the bend and a total waste of time, isn't it? Mm. What it's not the ridiculousness of the situation of them taking us to court for it, or threatening to take us to court for it, is the ridiculousness of the EU. Mm. What really we're talking
it
about?
It saddens me. It saddens
yeah,
me.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're talking about real life tragedies of people who genuinely think they're going to come over to this septic aisle and create a new life for themselves, and what they're ending up in is the poverty at least as bad as they had before.
Yeah, this is why I live in a land that is girt by sea.
Yes. And the other thing I think people forget is all of our friends in the US that are listening now, you know, the US of A is one part. It does have the same first language, it has the same set of you know, federal and state laws and all that sort of stuff. But in Europe, that unity is not there, and it will never be there.
Of course it will.
It will never be there.
Of course it will.
And those that think that they can do that are just barking mad. Let the EU be a free movement of goods, free movement of work. Sorry about the noise in the background. That's the bloke cutting the grass. I'll sneeze in a minute. and everything else. Just let it be the free movement bit and forget all this politics malarkey. Because the only people that are paying for it is you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It really is.
Or
anyway,
just come to Australia and don't even worry about it.
Well, that's true. Okay, boys and girls, I am taking now a deep breath.
Right.
Because I'm moving on to the next story. And I will have to do this like this, because it's your shout if you are the boss. Being confident and loud is the best way to win an argument, even if you're wrong, a new study suggests.
We all know somebody like that, don't we, Eric?
No.
No, we don't. That's quite right. We have no idea of anybody like that at all.
We never argue with our wives. Why should we? Their taste is impeccable. Look who they chose.
I'm not talking... And...
Rachel's thinking about that one for a minute.
I'm not. I'm just going, yeah, all right.
The riposte will come in a minute.
No, you're all lovely. You're all delicious.
Yeah, right.
I think this is a really old-fashioned... This is Washington State University have done a study into whether by shouting you could actually control people. Well, people used to think that they could control people by being shouted at now. But what's gone in Britain, talking about the
actually,
EU...
I've got a great cure, dear listener. Try shouting, Lee. Go on.
No, because you just...
Exactly, I'll just switch you off and you're gone. That's it, simple. Power to the people. I can even do it with a whisper.
The ludicrosity of this situation is that if you dare drop a smile or raise your voice one moniker to somebody who works in a shop in the UK, they will call the police and say you've been aggressive towards them. There is nothing aggressive about shouting.
You're being aggressive to the audience.
I am not being aggressive to the audience! The audience understand me!
Lee, you'll break your...
He's going to break the foofy valve.
I know he is. He's going to break that brand new microphone that cost him a fiver.
The gerbil.
But it's true. Researchers from Washington State University drew this conclusion after studying the activity of Twitter users. There's no sound on Twitter.
I was just going to say you twitty cat.
It's when you yell in caps.
Yeah, right.
And you type in caps, that is deemed to be shouting.
That's what they used to call, I think some people still call it, netiquette.
And yes, that's correct.
Right. And when people go netiquette, I go pillock.
That's a buzzword. It's a buzzy word.
Yeah, I don't like buzzy words. And to be honest, I don't care. That's why when I've put my first ever website up, do you know what colour it was?
Red.
Black.
Black. Ooh, you are controversial.
Oh, yes. The first website I ever put up for me, myself and I was a black background. They said, you can't do that, that's death. And I went, really? No. And I just left it like it.
I think black. My own website is still black, actually, since you made it for me as well. He made me a website once, you know, Rachel.
Really?
He did, and
what,
it is
black. For what purpose?
Yeah, exactly.
idea.
It's never updated. Moving along to something else that hasn't got a purpose, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival lineup has been announced.
Why is that? We get a lot of our people, our great comedians and artists are really honoured to go to that festival, and they're very honoured to be asked. So why is this? Why is that a silly story? No, stick up for yourself.
Most of the comedians aren't funny. Most of the musicians can't play.
Most of them are Australian. I'm taking exception to these comedians.
And most of the singers can't get a note out in tune.
Well, that's it. It's called the Edinburgh Brint. Sorry, it's called that song. It's called the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
Well, I went to the Liverpool Perm Festival, and that was far better.
Yeah. Yeah,
you
right.
Hair jokes because you have lots of hair.
Russell Kane, he's not funny.
He's not funny at all. No, he is. He's quite funny, actually.
Is he?
Like
in a sort of funny way.
He's always at that festival.
Yeah, Jenny Eclair's not funny.
No, I don't like her. She was funny at one stage, but then she went into Coronation Street, didn't she? Al Murray's not funny. He's just a stereotype of British thuggish racist oaf. Yeah. He is quite funny, actually.
Oh, is he? Oh. Well, anyway, the Fringe Festival's coming up, and if you like that sort of rubbish, it's entirely up to you. The original Apple One computer from 1976, one of only six working in the world, has just been sold for £650,000. All I will say to the buyer is it will probably cost you £650,000 to get the new software to bring it up to date as well. Because it won't work with any of the new stuff. That's guaranteed.
This is a modern antique, Eric. This isn't to buy it to use it. Oh. This is a modern antique. It's like old typewriters. They're worth fortunes. You used to be able to pick them up for nothing on a car boot or on a street corner. Now you can pay £100 for one. These things are antiques. People have been collecting them for decades, ever since it came out. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have an old computer with its original box, then you're sitting on a fortune.
Yeah, but I've been collecting you for years and I haven't got anything for you.
He
you
lost
should put
his
me
box.
On YouTube.
Seriously, the Apple One computer from 1976 went for £650,000. I'm not surprised about this, but apparently some journalists are really fed up that the latest UK multimillionaire is not going to tell his or her story to the newspapers. They won £81 million, Rach, on the Euro Millions jackpot, and they're not going to tell anybody. And I don't blame them, actually.
Well, they never tell here when they win when they win money here. They never win when you win. You know, get somebody winning maybe you know 3, 4, 5, anything up to the 40 mil that it usually gets to. Nobody ever says a word about who they are.
No, don't blame them either.
The press don't even go after the story.
Well, good as well. I think that's
it's nothing to do with the press. It's absolutely nothing to do with the press. This in Britain, at least, what you actually do if you win, you tick a box to say whether you want publicity or not. And if you say you don't want publicity, then nothing really happens. But if you won that kind of money, then I don't see why you don't want to tell the world. Obviously, you're going to get taking letters off the journalists who've interviewed you and stuff like that. But
it's taking letters off the journalists.
But it's just one of those things. We're a society of freedom and of open expression. And
anyway, we've only got a few minutes left, boys and girls, so we're going to crank through a few more stories. I love the next one from a Burger King that was being robbed.
Yeah.
Two guys were trying to rob the Burger King, and one smart employee of the place went round and moved their car out of the way so that when they came to run away, they couldn't get in their car and jump away and get gone, and they got nicked for it. Oh dear, what a shame.
Well, that's Bergen, isn't it?
That's Bergen, very good.
It's finest. That guy gets a trip to Disneyland to a company conference.
And I have been chastised on more than one occasion for being an avid DIYer, do it yourself. And this is for all DIYers everywhere. You are not silly, you are probably clever. Because this guy was doing up a house and ripped all the old, what's it called?
Drywall
stuff, that's it, thank you. Drywall stuff out of the garage to find some old newspapers. In the middle of it was a Superman comic worth $100,000. And Mr. Gonzalez, I think you're wonderful. You carry on, DIY. A guy in the US has also given 100 gallons of blood.
Well, that's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot of blood to give. You only have 8 pints in your body. You must have died.
Well, apparently he's done this over 35 years.
He didn't do it all at once. Look, that's 66 pints. That's
the devil, isn't it?
Scary.
Yes. But the interesting thing, the local blood bank runs a reward scheme there, offering meals at restaurants if you give blood.
You know, if it's a blood bank, can you go and put some in and then take some out?
I'll be dropping off the A and I'll take the B, thanks.
Yeah, that's the one.
Gotta have an overdraft.
Yeah, and finally in the programme, I think we've had a little bit to do with this because, although they won't admit it, some friends of ours did actually report several pages that were reportedly celebrities, but they weren't really, and the pages were taken down. Funnily enough,
Justin Bieber's page, he's not a celebrity.
Well, that's true. But anyway, apparently this week Facebook has announced the launch of verified pages for celebrities to combat the number of fake sites on the social network. So there'll be a little blue tick on there if it's really, really David Beckham or really, really Rachel Brunston or really, really Lee G. Banks. And if one
just
day,
like Twitter does it. Just like Twitter does it.
Yeah, one day if I get famous, then maybe they'll put a little blue tick by me, but other than that, no. And I have to say, on this one, well done, Facebook. It's about time. It's a bit overdue, but never mind, you've got there. And it will stop people from getting suckered in to fake sites, like the BBC page that I'm still babysitting. I'm still babysitting on Facebook, and I won't let anybody else join, and I won't let anybody sell anything on there. And I don't care. If you go to the group called the BBC, it is not real. I managed to shove the old administrator out, and so I've now got control of it, and I'm just waiting for Facebook to please take it down, because I'm fed up with looking after it for you. It's a fake.
It's a fake.
Indeed. Time to say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye,
Rach.
Goodbye, Rach. And you can say goodbye, Lee.
Goodbye. I can't do that one now, can I? Bye-bye, everybody.
See you next week, boys and girls.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.